Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 19 to finish at 25,219. S&P 500 up 1 at 2,732. NASDAQ Composite down 16, closing at 7,239. Russell 2000 Small and Mid Caps up 6 at 1,543. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 1 basis point at 2.88%. Oil up 31 cents at $61.65 per barrel. Gold down $6.10 at $13.48.20 per ounce. Oh, I'm glad it's Friday. There has been an overload of news this week. Consider there are reports that back in 2006, Trump had an extramarital affair with a Playboy playmate and that hush money was paid before the 2016 election. No, this is not the Stormy McDaniels story, the porn actress. This is different. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, this would have been a huge story. Now, barely gets a mention. Let's start with Wall Street. 1 week from one of the most disastrous weeks of stock market trading, including two quadruple point drops in the Dow, one of which was the index's biggest point drop in history, Wall Street squeezed out a gain today to end higher for a sixth straight session. The Dow rose 4.25% for the week, strongest weekly gain since November 2016. The NASDAQ up 5.3% for the week, its best week since December 2011. The S&P 500's 4.3% gain for the week was its biggest weekly advance since January 2013. It remains down nearly 5% from its record on January 26th. And no surprise, today was a wild ride again. More on that in just a moment. The big question is, what's changed this time around? Have there been fourth quarter earnings reports or economic data that have helped investors change course directly? No, not even close. If anything, the initial fears of heavy inflation hitting the market following the January jobs report 2 weeks ago have been nothing if not somewhat justified. This week, we saw both the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, and the Producer Price Index, the PPI, come in hotter than expected, indicating inflation has already begun to seep into the economy. Retail sales fell in their latest report, though prices for things like gasoline spiked. There's a reason gas prices are stripped off of the core read, however. They're historically more volatile, also food prices. Today, the dollar limped back from a three-year low against a basket of currencies, but still marked its fifth weekly loss out of 7 weeks this year, driving the euro up to its highest level since December 2014. The CBOE Volatility Index, the VIX, Wall Street's fear gauge, moved back above 20, but remained way off the 50-point level it hit during the peak of the sell-off. Coca-Cola rose 0.5%. The company reported better-than-expected profit and sales as it sold more teas, coffee, and vitamin water. Among the big decliners, Kraft Heinz, down 3.7% after quarterly profit and sales missed analyst estimates. For today's contribution to the macro picture, housing starts for January ramped up 9.7%. from a negative 6.9% read in December, and more than twice as hot as the 4.2% most economists had been expecting. Building permits, a forward indicator on future housing starts, reached 1.39 million. That's up 7.4%, higher than expected, and up from the previous month's slightly revised lower, seasonally adjusted annualized units. Also, import-export prices came in hotter than expected as well, 1% on imports, and 3.4% on exports. Subtracting petroleum prices from imports, that figure remains higher than expected at 0.5%. Year over year, imports are up 3.6%, yet more indicators that inflation is clear and present in today's economy and no longer something theoretical to consider for some other day. And in yet another report, the University of Michigan said its consumer sentiment index rose to a reading of 99.9 in February, up from 95.7 in January, second highest level in 14 years. Big gains in both the current economic conditions and the expectations indexes. In Washington today, a federal grand jury has indicted 13 Russian nationals and three Russian entities for allegedly meddling in the 2016 presidential election, charging them with conspiracy to defraud the United States. In addition, three defendants were charged with conspiracy to commit wire fraud and bank fraud, and five defendants with aggravated identity theft. The grand jury had been impaneled by special counsel Robert Mueller, who is investigating Russian interference in the election, as well as any possible connections between Russia and Trump campaign associates. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein said the defendants allegedly conducted what they called information warfare against the United States, with the stated goal of spreading distrust toward the candidates and the political system in general. According to the indictment, beginning as early as 2014, the Russian organization Internet Research Agency began operations to interfere with the U.S. political system, including the 2016 elections. The defendants allegedly posed as U.S. persons, created false U.S. personas, and operated social media pages and groups designed to attract U.S. audiences. The Internet Research Agency had a strategic goal to sow discord in the U.S. political system, including the election, according to the indictment. Deputy AG Rosenstein, in his announcement today, said that the indictment does not contain any allegations that any Americans knowingly participated in the activity. Russians posted derogatory information about a number of candidates, and by mid-2016, they supported Trump and disparaged Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton. They bought ads and communicated with unwitting people tied to Trump campaign and others to coordinate political activities. Specifically, Rosenstein said, there is no allegation in this indictment that any American was a knowing participant in this illegal activity. He went on to say, there is no allegation in this indictment that the charge conduct altered the outcome of the 2016 election. Now, stocks had been rolling along earlier in the day. The Dow Industrials were up over 200 points. When the indictments were announced, the Dow turned negative. The S&P had been up over 0.5%, but lost much of that after the announcement of the indictments. Then, when Rosenstein talked, the Dow recovered slightly. The White House issued a statement that there was no collusion. There is some legal speak going on, however. Rosenstein did not exonerate Americans or the White House. He just said that there are no allegations in this indictment. And he certainly did not say that this is the only indictment. It could very well mean that Mueller has not or will not find any evidence of U.S. persons knowingly conspiring with these efforts. Or it could mean there's more to come. What remains unanswered is whether the Russians had U.S. help. The language in the indictment doesn't mean the only people involved are these unwitting ones. The indictment is the most complete set of allegations offered by the government yet about one subset of Russian interference, going far beyond an intelligence community report released in early 2017. At its peak, the alleged conspiracy had a budget of more than $1.25 million per month for activities in the U.S. and elsewhere. The indictment also stands as an implicit rebuke to Trump, who has repeatedly refused to acknowledge the Russian role in the election, saying many actors may have been involved. He has also rejected the idea that any interference might have aided him. His rejection puts him at odds with the entire American intelligence establishment, which has concluded that Russia interfered. On Tuesday, top officials, many of them Trump appointees, reaffirmed that stance and said Russia would also seek to meddle in the 2018 election. The indictment clearly states that Russia intervened in the election. This is not a hoax. The indictment contains far more detail, and while its contents are still allegations, not claims proven in a court, they are bolstered by extensive documentary evidence. Still to be determined is who knew what, when, and whether they became involved wittingly or unwittingly, and if they attempted to cover their involvement. More indictments will follow. This does not represent the end of the investigation. And all of this happening in a week that saw one of the deadliest school shootings in U.S. history at a high school in Parkland, Florida. Boston Globe had maybe the best front page coverage. It read, "We know what will happen next." Dow Jones Industrial Average up 19 to finish at 25,219. S&P 500 up 1 to close at 2732. NASDAQ Composite down 16 at 7,239. Follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, daily blog, eatthebankers.com. More investors have become millionaires with real estate, and you can too. How can you achieve financial independence? Kick back on the beach. Investment Property Experts has a strategic plan for investment real estate in Rocky Point, Mexico, and you can be included. It's called the 1-2-3 program, and it works like this. 1. Earn an outstanding annual return on real estate. Invest in 2 condos at the beautiful Esmeralda Luxury Resort on the beach. Then kick back for 3 years. 1-2-3, boom, financial independence. The Esmeralda Luxury Resort, located on the prime beachfront location in Rocky Point. You've got to see this place. It is beautiful. For more info, go to azipx.com to talk with the investment property experts. That's azipx.com, azipx.com.